This morning, our reading for the sermon and reading out of the epistles is from 1 Corinthians and chapter 15, verses 50 through 57. We start a new series, a Lenten series, where we'll take some time to examine some ideas, maybe some behaviors, some practices that can impact how we connect with our faith, how we connect with our God, but also how we connect with each other. And all that plays a part in how we live out our faith, how we express our faith, how our faith in Christ becomes a part of our everyday lives. And so this week we begin with a passage out of Corinthians, and we're looking at death, how death, the cultural notion of death, not so much the personal, but the cultural notion of death, how that can impact our faith. Now, I'm fully aware and fully cognizant of how death can be so personal. I mean, we have all lost people whom we have loved, whom we have cared about, who we have part of our lives, and that loss, you know, is it's heavy, it's full of grief, it's a burden to care at times. But I believe our God is with us in those moments, those times that we struggle, and we even when we're discussing death, our God is with us. So I invite you to hear these words starting in chapter or verse 50 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the imperishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I think about how our death, you know, at a cultural level impacts our faith, I find it's helpful to take a look at kind of all the ways in which we experience death. We see, we witness it in our culture. And one probably the most primary ways in which we see death in our culture, it's actually carried through in our media and the shows we watch, the movies we watch, the books that we read. And I will admit, I am a fan of the police procedural on television. You know, shows like NCIS, Blue Bloods, now FBI. I will be honest, CBS is my channel right now. If I'm looking for television, CBS is it. And I like these shows partially because of, it's a process they go through, and I appreciate some of the writing that goes into those shows. But I will admit, I struggle when I'm watching these, how often death is a part of these shows and how death is treated as just a plot device, how it's just carried through. And some of our ideas of how we interact with death get shaped by how it's seen on television. Because we could see at the beginning of, say, a police procedural, there might be a murderer there at the beginning, and then the case is handed off to investigators who go forward trying to find the person who did it. And along the way, you see those twists and the turns, maybe a change in the characters. And at the end of the show, there's either an act of vengeance or maybe an act of justice. Now, that's what we would hope for to see. And so it kind of goes from one, beginning to an end, all kind of in one, 42-minute, package for us. But we know death, it impacts us at a much deeper level. It's not just 42 minutes out of our lives or in our evening, but rather death is a part of our experience. We interact with it. It's a part of our lives. It stirs up a lot of emotion, grief, and loss, and sadness. And that can make our interaction or understanding of death difficult because of those understandable the impacts it has on us. But when we look at, though, at our those cultural discussions, impacts of death, and how it affects our faith, it really gets to the heart of a matter that can challenge other parts of our faith. When I also step back and look at how our society, how our culture looks at death, there's also two other kind of themes I see pop up. One is, it's kind of a poetic, maybe more from a novel writer or a poet perspective, of death being a welcome friend. It's the summation of our whole lives. It's the end, the final moment, and it's something beautiful that we all get to go through. And we know that is not the case through our experience. It can be difficult, it can be hard, you know, for all who are a part of that process, you know, of death. We also hear this notion, too, of not talking about death, of it just kind of not being there, of just being buried. And this is something I've seen popping up more and more in conversation, not only you know, between people, but also, you know, in our society as a whole, how death has been diminished. We just don't talk about that. And that complicates, you know, our faith, that complicates our connections, it complicates our lives when we just kind of bury it. But I believe for us as a people of faith, you know, we know death, and we also know, resurrection. We know that there is struggle, there is hardship, there is pain that comes with death. It is not a convenient or neat thing about our lives, but rather it tears at our souls. But equally, as a people of faith, we know the resurrection, the hope that is there, the new life that comes from Christ, the everlasting life that comes from Christ. When I look at our reading here out of the book of 1 Corinthians, and that, you know, 50 through 57, and I think 1 Corinthians, when Paul's writing this, I believe is a good conversation partner in this examination, because Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and if you think about how Corinth was when Paul was writing this, and Corinth, this time, you know, in the first century AD, was an extremely cosmopolitan place. A mix, I would say, of Amsterdam, a little bit of London, a whole lot of Las Vegas, all kind of put together in one place. You have like highbrow culture, people who are extremely intellectual, Roman citizens who had a whole lot of privilege. You also have a whole group of traders and sailors coming through as well. And the other part about Corinth, though, it is a city at one point had been totally destroyed by the Romans, and then was later rebuilt by the Romans because it was in a good spot. It was a good port location. And so even though the Romans had conquered, destroyed, wiped out the city, they realized there was a reason Corinth was in that spot. And so they rebuilt it. And that added to its, you know, cosmopolitan feel, its, you know, intellectual, you know, place, but also to its entertainment value as well, as people would travel as they're going through the Mediterranean, want to stop at Corinth. And so a lot of the ideas of how, you know, we would think about where our ideas of death come from can come from those places of entertainment, those places of, you know, of connection with people, of also interaction with different people. And as a people of faith, when we start interacting with our greater culture, our greater society about death, we might run into some of the struggles that the people in the time of Corinth would have encountered. Perhaps, you know, being seen as different or being seen as odd or just flat out having a different understanding of death. For the average Roman citizen, death was not something that was they were necessarily concerned about. Because this was in the age before antibiotics, I mean, it was an everyday part of life. But there wasn't necessarily the same culture around death or same understanding around death that we have as a people of faith, as of the life everlasting, of the new life, and being with our God after our death. And so Paul's writing from this place, you know, into these people who have this understanding. And as he's writing this, this is where I find a lot of hope in our conversation, It's in those last few verses of our reading, and I'll read from starting at 54. When this perishable body puts on imperishability and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When I think about those two notions I shared before about, you know, death being something that's a welcome, that's a part of our experience, the notion that we don't talk about death at all. As Christians especially, death is a part of our faith experience. Our symbol of our faith, the cross, is a tool that was used for execution, for crucifixion. It was not a pleasant or meaningful way to die at all. And so death is a part of our faith. And so we don't shy away from death. We recognize its final nature. We recognize how difficult and painful it can be. But we also recognize the resurrection. That hope that came on Easter morning, that Sunday after Good Friday. We are a people of a resurrection. We are a people who know hope in spite of death, pain, and brokenness. And so we let these other cultural notions kind of impact our lives. It starts to impact not only our idea of death, but our idea about resurrection, of how we experience Christ, how we experience that hope. Because if we are denying death, if we're totally shutting it out, we actually start to shut out resurrection. We start to eliminate hope. But our faith calls us to hope, calls us to resurrection, fully aware of our experiences, but fully calling us to that new life. Part of our difficulty as a culture is a lot of times I feel like our culture gets stuck like at Holy Saturday, you know, that day between Good Friday and the day, you know, between, you know, but right before Easter. We get stuck in that Holy Saturday place a whole lot as a culture, as individuals. And it's certainly understandable. There are times when it is hard to see hope. It is difficult and painful even to think there could be something better coming for us. But this is the power of the gospel. In spite of that difficulty, in spite of that hardship, Easter Sunday is coming. Resurrection is coming. New life is coming. And I believe for us as a people of faith, we can bear witness to this resurrection, to this new life, to this new beginning. As we hear those words at the end of our reading, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a victory that is not coming out of a place that is easy or comfortable. It's a victory that comes out of life, that comes out of the reality of what we live in as human beings. But it's a victory that points us towards resurrection. I believe the challenge for us in the season of Lent, as we examine and look, you know, at our lives and our connection, it's important to see how our culture affects our faith, not only at the immediate topic at hand, but how it connects and plays out to other places. Because it's all too easy if we do get caught up in that idea that death does not exist or we don't talk about it, when we need to hear that message of hope, we can become challenged. But we are a people of hope. We are a people of new life. We are a people of new beginning. So let us, in this season of Lent, as we encounter these challenges, encounter the difficulty and hardships of life, may we be attuned towards that resurrection, that coming hope, that coming new life, that coming new beginning. But it's also a new beginning, a new life that is with us now. Because of Christ, because of our God, because of the Holy Spirit. So in spite of the challenges our culture may throw at us, our society may throw at us, We are a people of hope. We bear witness to this hope, and we live it out in our lives, now and forevermore. Amen.